Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, perspective, and views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We're going to forego our usual introduction and jump right into the show. Gangs and Gang Violence, a novel but desperate approach to ending the scourge, here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is, of course, a difficult show to do, primarily because of the subject matter. Like many of you, I was appalled. To be honest, I was a bit sickened by the news of that beautiful little angel, Janyla Watkins, who was shot multiple times and subsequently died from her wounds. She's been funeralized now and she's buried. But in the wake of her death, there are questions about gangs and gang violence that we've got to really come to terms with. And I think we've been avoiding dealing with really the hard questions, because in my mind, there are questions about the perpetrators of this particular despicable act. Need I remind you that this young girl, 6 months old, shot by a knucklehead, shooting into the car, shooting into the van, while she was getting her diaper changed, because he's part of a gang. And this despicable act has become all too familiar in our communities, in Chicago, in Detroit, LA, and even in my hometown of Asbury Park in Neptune. Gang violence has precipitated in unimaginable ways now. And I think we've been avoiding dealing with the hard questions. Who are these guys? Why would they perform such despicable acts? Shooting a 6 month old? Doesn't have to be 6 months. Could be a little kid. It could be another knucklehead on the corner. These are questions that we have to deal with. Hard questions. Questions that require all of us to consider, in my judgment, measures that's profoundly uncomfortable for us to discuss. Because the question becomes, at least for me, is how do we resolve these issues? What do we do about people who simply refuse to change? What do we do about individuals and groups of people that clearly is an anathema to the peace and quality of life in our community? What do we do about these individuals? These are our sons. These are our fathers in some instances. These are our brothers. These are our neighbors' kids. These are kids of the folks that we graduated high school with. What do we do about those individuals who absolutely refuse to change? What do we do about some of the most violent among us? About those thugs who will shoot, who will maim, who will kill with no compunction? What do we do? And I'm telling you today, prison is not enough. I'm telling you right now, because we know that in the instances of Bloods, Crips, MS-13 and every other violent street gang, prison is a second home for them. So prison isn't enough. I think that there are some measures that we have to consider, and we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. These are perhaps even desperate measures. These are measures beyond the realm of even possibility. It's unthinkable to even suggest. And I'm teasing you a little bit because I want you to gear up for something that, you know, I've written about this a few years ago when a friend of mine, her son was shot to death back home in Asbury Park. And I remember writing a commentary about gangs and gang violence in my hometown newspaper, of which I used to be a reporter for. And I remember writing that article and sitting down and thinking, thinking and mulling over the idea of these types of desperate measures that I'm going to mention. But I want you to take a listen to this.
Sylvia and Linda, this is a terrible sight. A funeral program for a six-month-old baby killed not by natural causes, but by gun violence. The face smiling in this photo replaced by the emptiness of a lifeless body inside an open casket.
It's not the youngest child that I've buried, but it's the youngest child that I've ever had to be shot and killed, murdered. That is totally different than anything I've ever experienced before, and something I never ever want to experience again.
This baby, this angel, murdered in cold blood by a thug, a predator, a monster, so-called gangster. And I know that there are many of you who will suggest, well, we shouldn't, you know, call them out their names like that. They're not predators. They're people who, you know, they may not have. No, I don't want to hear any more excuses. We have arrived at a point in our existence where we have to come to grips with the fact that there are predators among us. Anytime an individual will walk up to a car and shoot indiscriminately and at a baby, and even though the baby may not have been his enemy, it was the baby's father. I understand that. But when you walk up to a vehicle and shoot in that vehicle indiscriminately, regardless of who is in the vehicle. Now, I'm sure the fact that the guy ran away is an indication that he knows right from wrong. But the more important question for me is, he saw that this little baby was in the vehicle. He saw that the father was changing the baby's diaper, yet he fired round after round after round. That is a predator. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for how I feel about this. I know that you are detecting some disdain in my voice, and there is, because I'm absolutely disgusted by this nonsense. It's not simply about this idiot. It's not simply about this murderer, this joker. It's more about why we are tolerating this mess. It's about us. It's about our community. It's about what we've tolerated for entirely too long. That's what this is about. We have tolerated this mess. We live with this crap for too long. We've made a bunch of excuses for people that simply do not care. And I want you to get this. There are people in our community who simply don't care. We've allowed these guys to run rampant in our community. They have run roughshod on our community and on our people. And I think, to be honest with you, we've become too squeamish, chumpish about dealing with the kinds of individuals who will reap this kind of violence on our community. We're unwilling to seriously consider measures that will not only effectively abate the violence, but render gangs and gang violence a relic of the past. What are you talking about, Ron Holland? Well, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And I'm at the point now where every option is on the table. Why? Because when a knucklehead can shoot a six-month-old precious little angel while she's having her diaper changed, we've arrived at a critical juncture where we're going to either completely eliminate the problem or, as I wrote several years ago, acquiesce to a precarious coexistence with gangs and gang violence. The question becomes, do you want to continue living with this stuff? Had an opportunity to read some very interesting information as I was preparing for this show. I was reading a whole bunch of stuff, and there were a bevy of studies that I got a hold of that are quite interesting. And it targets Chicago and some of the other major metropolitan areas. There are estimates of 100,000 gang members
in Chicago. According to Jody Weiss, who now runs the commission that makes Chicago the most gang-ridden city in the country, the feds had Los Angeles at number one in 2010 with over 68,000, in Chicago, Cook County in second with just over 60,000. So the numbers are vacillating. But the reality is these are a lot of gang members. And we're just talking about Chicago. This is fascinating stuff. California, the gang problem in California is not only acute, as the article points out, but it's stunning. An estimated 300,000 gang members. Charlotte, over 100 street gangs in Charlotte. So we have a problem that requires our full attention here. Because even more startling than these numbers is the kinds of violence that we're seeing. And even more startling than the violence is the number of gang suppression efforts, gang injunctions, gang congregation ordinances that were instituted to stop and to quell the violence. And as of as late as 2010, California initiated over 150 gang injunctions. 150. Now, for those of you that don't know, California's gang injunctions are sort of court orders that restrict gang members from congregating in certain designated areas of a given community. The injunction, in essence, makes it a public nuisance for two or more members of the same gang to be in the same place, displaying gang signs, having gang-related tattoos, selling controlled substances, graffiti, and a host of other identifiable gang activity poses a threat to the health and well-being of a community. So these injunctions had been instituted, and there have been some successes. There have been some failures. Additionally, while gang injunctions might lead to diminished crime in their specified locations, they can also divert crime into surrounding communities. So there are no simple solutions here. It's clear to me that the communities that are dealing with this issue all across the country are doing their darndest to stop this nonsense. California, Detroit, LA, New Orleans, Charlotte, all across the country, from small towns to large metropolitan areas, there have been a bevy of efforts employed to stop this stuff. Gang units were formed, citywide ordinances instituted, gang violence reduction efforts have been extraordinarily difficult to measure in terms of success, primarily because it is hard to gauge. Because, again, when you institute a new program, there are initially some successes, but things wane. So what's the end result? More of the same. Take a listen to this.
I saw him pull the gun out.
Andre Easter was at the front door as the service ended, just after Pastor Corey Brooks had preached an anti-violence eulogy about turning to faith.
It's hard to get people to believe that message when you have such evil right at the doors of a church.
He was hollering gang signs, talking to a couple of guys, and then he just pulled out the gun and everybody started scattering.
I seen people jumping down in between the pews and getting up under the seats, so I ran.
Hundreds of people inside, including investigators, believe the gunman, identifying as many as four targets and hitting two of them, including this woman's son.
And as he was coming out, they just shot him a lot of times.
Anytime someone would shoot up a funeral in retaliation for or in an effort to get at someone, a funeral where a mother is about to bury her son, anytime someone would shoot up a funeral, we have predators among us. And it's time that we adopt that language, and it is time that we grasp this reality. There are people in our community who simply will not change, and they have forfeited their right to be among us. The Bible talks about a generation. It's good that we're reminded that there are some spiritual components to this. There's a generation that curse their father and do not bless their mother. A generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. This is for folks who, you know, we're on the praise station. So I have to, you know, provide some biblical context to this. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Violent generation. Teeth are like knives. That suggests a violent individual. And on full display today is a generation, as the Bible says, whose teeth are like knives. Jaw teeth like swords. It's a generation that we're dealing with today. Don't respect their mothers and fathers. Don't even respect the community in which they live. We are seeing it on full display today. A wicked and vile group of people who will snatch your life just to belong to a set. You're driving innocently along the highway and you notice someone who happens to not have their headlights on and you flash them to alert them of a possible danger. And so they turn around and they follow you and then they start hailing off bullets because of a gang initiation. It is not simply an urban legend. We have individuals in our community who are so desperate to belong to a set, whether it's the Bloods or Crips, MS-13 or whatever, the street gang, that they will murder and kill and maim. We have those individuals in our community today. And it is time that we start embracing efforts to get rid of those kinds of individuals. These are predators. They do not belong in our community. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I've grown exhausted of the excuses. I've grown tired of the same worn arguments about poverty. The same worn arguments about joblessness, fatherlessness, homelessness, poor neighborhoods. I've grown exhausted with these excuses because the reality is I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. And look, I articulated some of this stuff. And we all had to deal with struggle in our lives. But there is absolutely no excuse for what we're seeing displayed on the streets of Chicago today. CNN, MSNBC, all of these programs have done specials on the kind of violence that we are seeing. And it is happening in our community by young men who simply do not care. Predators. I articulated this stuff, joblessness, fatherlessness. I promoted all of this stuff, but no more. No more excuses, because if we continue to make excuses or we continue to rationalize these abhorrent behaviors, our young men, those who are predators, these are the guys who are going to be shooting down more innocent people in our community. Do you want more children being shot because you want because some knucklehead didn't have a father in the house? I'm not entertaining these excuses any longer. Our neighborhoods are being terrorized. I'm tired of bullets flying in our neighborhood. No more burying sons and daughters. I don't want any more flying bullets. Enough is enough. The question is, aren't you tired of the shootings? Aren't you tired of the killings? Aren't you tired of the fear? Aren't you tired of the violence? I am. I'm tired of mothers burying their sons because some knucklehead wants to prove himself. He wants to be down. He wants to grab a gun because he can't defend himself with his own fist. So what does he do? He goes and shoots down someone who he knows will whoop his tail. That's what's going on. I'm tired of our elders being afraid of going out and taking a walk to the store out of fear of being shot along the way. I'm tired of children having to dodge bullets in our community, in their own front yards, in the playgrounds. I'm tired of preachers having to preach funerals of victims of the perpetrators of gun violence. I'm tired of having meetings, needing meetings, hearing about another meeting to meet about the same daggone thing. It's time to make gangs and gang membership illegal in the United States. That's right, I said it. It's time to make gangs and gang membership illegal in the United States. If you are part of a gang, you have already committed a crime. It's time that there is a legislative response to this issue. No more excuses for thugs. No more excuses for knuckleheads and predators. I've grown exhausted of all of these excuses. We have got to come to grips with the fact that there are predators in our community, and some of these predators absolutely will not change. There will always be some parents who fail to instill proper values in their children, respect for community and humanity. Some parents are simply not equipped to raise or engage their predatory offspring. But do we forfeit our right to have quality of life in our neighborhoods? Absolutely not. It's time to come to grips with a stark reality. There are predators among us, and some predators are not interested in finding a job. They're not interested in education, in honest living, quality of life, a prosperous community, or an African-centered culture that celebrates life, respect integrity, the dignity of our women, and respect for tradition. There are people who don't value those things. It's time we come to grips with the reality that there will always be individuals who did not have a father in the house. The father was absent. But should we be held hostage to their despicable behaviors? No. Some of these predators, these thugs, these knuckleheads, yeah, I said it. They are emotionally detached from our community. And it's time that we face this fact. So again, enough is enough. We arrived at this juncture long ago, where drastic measures are required to stop gangs and gang violence, stop the killing through a legislative action. Gangs, gang membership, and gang affiliation should be made illegal in the United States, particularly and especially if these known violent street gangs are engaged in murder, drug dealing, and any other criminal enterprise. We should back an effort to initiate a nationwide sweep of every Blood member, every Crip member, every MS-13 member, and every other violent street gang. Put them on a barge to Siberia or some remote island surrounded by shark-infested waters thousands of miles away from civilization. That's where we're headed. If they refuse to change, then it's time that we start taking these measures. Put them on a barge to Siberia somewhere. These thugs and predators forfeited their right to be in our community. It's not until we stop harboring these folks that the violence will stop. We've got to stop harboring them. I know that they are children of the folks we have gone to school with. They might even be family members. I understand that. I understand that fathers should be taking care of their children. I understand the socioeconomic issues that continue to grip our communities. But we ought not be held hostage to the violence any longer. I know what I'm saying won't be embraced by a whole lot of folks. I understand that. I understand that community and social activists promulgate the idea that the best deterrent to gang membership is quality jobs and education. And without question, poverty, poor education, and joblessness contribute to the problem. Dysfunctional family environments, fatherless children, and female-headed households are also major components. But as we address these issues, again, we ought not be held hostage to the violence. We are no longer obligated as a community or as a nation to tolerate this nonsense. Because as I wrote years ago, frustration abounds, conservatives advocate building more prisons, and liberals are straddling between sociological perspective and political expediency. And meanwhile, the black community, which is the victim of this violence, is resigned to the tenaciousness of gang violence. It is tough to deal with this thing, but we have got to do something. The only convincing approach is to make gangs, gang membership, a criminal offense. If you are a member of a gang, you've committed a criminal offense. And I know this will stir the ire of the American Civil Liberties Union. I know that there perhaps might be a weighty debate over constitutional infringements. And I would expect a major outcry from civil rights groups, religious organizations, and social scientists. But the merits of this proposition will be based on the fact that we can no longer continue tolerating this stuff. We can. Making gangs illegal is controversial, but it is sorely needed. And the first step is through the legislative process. Building a national gang database. I think we already have that. There should be available to every law enforcement nationwide that database that include every known gang member, its membership and its affiliation, surveillance, fingerprint technology, photo imaging. All of these tools should be an effect that should be effectively used to quell the violence. We can start with the prisons. We know that there are thousands of gang members right now in prisons. Again, put them on a barge and send them off to Siberia. I am exhausted having to see mothers burying their sons because of some knucklehead. Send them to Siberia. I heard a gentleman suggest that, put them in the service and let them go fight across seas. Yeah. Then you have a better trained predator. No. Put them on a barge, remote island somewhere where they have to fend for themselves, where they have to feed themselves. Stop letting the prison system and our tax dollars support their three meals and a cot. It's time for them to take care of themselves on some remote island somewhere. If they want to kill and maim, let them do it far outside of the confines of this country. That's what I'm proposing. That's where I am. Yeah, I'm angry. I sound angry and I have disdain in my voice. But you know what? When we have stopped having mothers walk down the church aisle behind a casket because her son or daughter was shot down by some predator knucklehead, if we can significantly reduce those numbers, I'll be satisfied. There are hundreds, perhaps thousands of gang members who prefer an alternative way of living. As a nation, we should provide these alternatives. However, if gang members continue to ignore our plea to stop these violent and destructive behaviors, we shall meet their choice with the most severe of consequences. Start lining them up on a barge to Siberia. That's where I am. It's time to make gangs and gang membership a criminal offense, illegal in the United States. That's where I am. That's where my heart is today because I am so tired of little babies. I had to watch my wife cry the other day. And although she is not connected to any of the family members and not connected to that little Janala Watkins, she's not connected in any way. But seeing that little baby lying in a casket as a result of some knucklehead. No, it's time to stop. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.